Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapters 28 through 29, where we see that true contentment, gladness, and joy does not come from seeking popularity, fashion, or the things of this world. It comes by putting other people ahead of ourselves and serving them like Jesus would. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapter 28.
Good evening, everyone. If you have a Bible, let's open up to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And if you didn't bring one with you, you're going to want to raise your hand maybe and let one of the ushers bring one to you at your seat. We are moving through God's Word here line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. If you don't have a Bible, if you don't own one, the one that they bring to you, you could just accept as a gift from us to you. We want you to have God's Word and read it more than just when you're here at church. It's so important. And we are going to continue our journey here, God willing, finish our 13th book in a row here in the Old Testament tonight. If he sees fit, we'll see here if we get through even chapter 28. Not including, you know, we've done Song of Solomon and Nehemiah. That would be 15 Old Testament books. And then if you take the seven books that we've done in the New Testament, we're about, a third of the way through the Bible in its entirety. So not bad for almost 10 years. It'll take us 30 years to go through the Bible once, but that's okay. Let's ask the Lord for just focus. There's so much going on in the world. It's so distracting. So many things are vying for our attention. And let's just ask the Lord just to direct our thoughts to him. And we'll get right into it. God, we thank you for bringing us here tonight. Lord, that in and of itself is a victory for so many of us. Just overcoming, God, maybe fear, all this talk, Lord, of sickness and the danger of crowds, God. Thank you for giving us the courage to come and to congregate, Lord, and to sit at your feet to worship you and to learn of you. Thank you, God, for just making a way, Lord, the end of a Wednesday, the middle of a work week. Lord, a lot of us here probably are exhausted, distracted. So much of the week has already taken place, and there's still a few days left of the work week, Lord. It's easy to be just sort of drained at this point. So we're thankful, God, that you put it in our hearts to come, that, Lord, whatever it was that we had to overcome to get here, kids fighting and homework and rush hour traffic, God, whatever it was that we had to overcome, God, we're here. And so I just think it's only appropriate to ask you, Lord, to help us to be all here. That we give you all of our minds and our hearts and our thoughts, Lord, all that we are. Lord, we are not able to have our focus in many places. We're not like you. We can't have our mind in many places at once, Lord. So while we're here, we pray that you would arrest our attention, that our focus would be upon you, God, that you'd put it in our hearts to want to learn of you, that you would direct my mouth, God, that you'd cause me to speak only the things that you want me to speak, and that you'd open everyone's ears, Lord, and hearts to your truth. That all of us, Lord, would be impacted by this study of your word tonight. So we thank you, and Lord, we commend this meal to you now, asking you to feed us in Jesus' name. Amen. We come here chronologically to the end of the life of King David, and he's sort of doing like a State of the Union address here to the nation of Israel. And it says here in verse 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, if you're just coming in, it says, David assembled all of the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. So remember, David has expanded the territory of the nation of Israel at this time just tremendously. I mean, the amount of real estate that is under his reigning and ruling is incredible here. The multitude of people that would be gathered in to listen to this address as the greatest king that Israel would ever have, even, you know, up till that point, but even since him, stands before him. And we're going to read that in just a minute. This old man, he's at the end of his life. He's going to rise to his feet here in this address, and he's going to speak forth his heart. And the people would have respected him. They would have loved him. They would have leaned in to hear his words as he'll share these things live with them that you and I get to read. It says, David the king, verse 2, he stood upon his feet, and you're supposed to feel that at the end of his life. Remember, he's in bed, and he would be so cold and sickly that they would call for young virgins to come and lay at his feet. So for him to stand to his feet to address the people, that would be a feat in and of itself. He stands there and he says, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and he had made ready for the building. But God said to me, 'You're not going to build a house for my name. And the reason is because you have been a man of war and you have shed blood.' Howbeit, verse 4, the Lord God of Israel, he chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father." Look what David says here. He goes like this: "He liked me." You know, he's got this insight here to the heart of God. He has this understanding of the doctrine of election. God, he has the right to choose. He chose me. Out of everybody of the tribe of Judah, he chose my family. And out of everybody in my family, out of all the brothers that I have, and he had a lot of big brothers, he picked me. And the reason for it, David says, is because he liked me. And it's pretty amazing to me. This is like New Testament insight that David has, because Jesus will pray a prayer in John 17 where he'll say to the Father that Father, I know that you love them the way that you love me. Talking to God of you and I, the church. That Father loves us the way that he loves his son Jesus. And it's not just the word that he employs there, agape. That's like the love that God has to sort of have with people. It's his own rule. Like agape love is unconditional, uncircumstantial love. That's a really good love, amen. You want somebody to love you without circumstances or with conditions. But that's a word that God says that we sort of have to have for each other. He takes it a step further in John 17, and he says, I want the church to know that you like them. It's phileo. You're fond of them. You don't just love them unconditionally. You actually like them. You like them the way that you like me. Like, there's this fondness that you have for the bride, and David understands that here. He goes, I just understand this, that God picked me because he liked me. And there's this confidence in God's liking for him. And I want to point that out. We're going to move through like 60-something verses tonight. And we'll stop and go as the Holy Spirit tells us to. But I want you to get little golden nuggets as we move. And for some of you, this will mean more than for others tonight, depending on where you're at. You got to know this. God likes you. The person next to you might not. I mean, I can see it on their face. They don't like you too much, maybe. I mean, maybe you're driving them crazy. Maybe you're exhausting them. Maybe you're frustrating them, but it's a good word to hear in the middle of March on a Wednesday evening that God likes you, that he likes you because he likes you. And the reason why you're here tonight is because God has drawn you to himself. And the reason that God is drawing you to himself is because he has the right to choose, to elect, to pick who he wants to come close to him. You have to respond with your free will, of course, but it's his loving kindness that is drawing you, that's enticing you, that's wooing you unto himself. And it's just because he likes you. He wants nothing from you. He has everything for you. He likes you. He wants to bless you. And he's got plans for you. David gets it here. He goes like this, end of verse 4. God picked me because he likes me. And he made me king over all Israel. I was reading that today and just sort of laughing, thinking, this is amazing that David just had this confidence. I want you too tonight to have that confidence in the Lord that God likes you. And it says, and all my sons... He goes on to say here to the nation, for the Lord has chosen to give me a lot of sons. He has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, verse 6, Solomon, your son, he's going to build my house and my courts again, because I've chosen him to be my son, and I'm going to be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. Here's the only condition, though. It has to be this, that he would be constant to do my commandments and judgments as it is this day. Listen, if you're a note taker, a highlighter, an underliner, a word circler, you should be. It's good Bible study practice. Write that word constant. I want to develop it with you for just a moment. It means this: if he be strong, if he be one who holds on to or literally hardens or firm or resolute, it means courageous. And it takes all of those things to be constant, to be steadfast in your following after the Lord and your pursuit of the Lord, right? Like it's a tremendously difficult thing in this antichrist culture to do, to follow the Lord, to pursue the Lord, to go after the ways of the Lord, to honor the ways of the Lord, to esteem them above the world's ways, right? I mean, it takes this type of person in order to sort of hold their ground. Somebody who's constant, somebody who's firm, somebody who's unshakable, a person of conviction. Listen, one of the reasons that you should come to midweek Bible study is to become a man and a woman of conviction. We're not just people that hold position. That's vastly different. As I've talked to you about in the past, when you hold a position, when I hold a position, we're likely to change. There perhaps will come a day where we, you know what, I take a different position now. After all these years of experience and time and knowledge, my position's changed. Maybe I used to be a Democrat, now I'm a Republican. Those are my positions. But a conviction is vastly different. You could have a conviction that comes from the wisdom of God's word as a young person that will never change with time and more knowledge and experience, etc., etc., because it's the ways of the Lord. And a person that has a conviction is unshakable, is unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Spirit, as Paul would say, right? And that's what we want. We want people, we want Christians who are mature, Christians who are not just all, you know, emotion and feeling and hype, but we want Christians who are anchored in God's word, who are sound, who are strong, who know what they believe and why they believe what they believe. And the only way for that to happen, Bible study. Anyone know how I know? It's not because this is what I do for a living. It's because what the scripture says. The scripture says this: faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. You come to church, of course, to see each other, to hang out, to fellowship, to talk, to pray, community, camaraderie, of course, to worship, of course. But you come to church supremely to sit at the Lord's feet and allow his Holy Spirit to wash you in the water of his word. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We're moving through God's word, and God's word is moving through us. And we'll be constant as a result. We'll be steadfast. We'll be firm. We won't be swayed. A lot of winds of doctrine blow through the church. A lot of confusions out there. And people don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe what they believe. But you will if you are a student of God's word. Amen? So it says this: the Lord is going to establish his kingdom, but he's got to be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as this day. Now, verse 8, therefore, he says, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, look what he says here. He goes like this: keep and seek. Now notice here, not seek and keep, but keep and seek. Like you already got enough to be busy with before you seek for more, right? Like, do what you already know to do, and then God will increase. Do the last thing that God told you to do, and then he'll tell you what the next thing is. I think that's a word for somebody here. Again, just little highlights here, little bullet points as we move through all of these verses tonight. God would say to some of you tonight, this very phrase that was spoken to the nation and to Solomon: keep what he's already given to you. Be a good steward over it. Whatever he's entrusted you, whatever he's already shown you of his word and his ways, be busy with practicing that. Be busy with developing that. Be busy in trying to be habitual in that. And then as you are faithful to do so with the little God entrusts to you, he'll give you the increase. He'll give you more. It's not seek for greater and more before you're even faithful with what he's already entrusted to you. It's be faithful to what he's already given you. Develop that. Even if you feel like it's so much less than what others have, you just be faithful to what he's entrusted into your care of knowledge and understanding and giftings and wisdom, et cetera, as the Holy Spirit ministers to you. And then as he sees fit, he expands your territory. I remember when I first came back to Christ as a teenager, I just would look around at older, mature, seasoned Christians, especially Bible teachers, and I would be envious, especially of Bible teachers. I remember when I took the pulpit at like 17, 18, the first time in the sanctuary, I was like so desiring to be this deep, you know, well of a teacher. I wanted to have like this ability to hold a Bible in my hand and preach a sermon for an hour without one page of notes. I wanted to have this ability just to recall scripture. I want to have this ability to know how to like use scripture to commentate on other scripture. I wanted to be able to do what I saw men who had been at it for so many years doing. I wanted that ability, but you can't have that instantaneously. It's something that comes over time. And you got to be faithful to keep what God gives to you before you're seeking for more that's futuristic. Be faithful to what God's entrusted you with tonight. Be diligent with what God's entrusted. Has he given you understanding of a scripture? Be faithful to apply it before you try to go and memorize another scripture. If it's all just head knowledge, it don't drip to your heart, it does you no good, right? We're not just supposed to be hearers of God's word. We're supposed to be doers of God's word. So he says, keep, verse 8, and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you might possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Now watch what he says in verse 9. There's three things. He says, and you, Solomon. Most likely Solomon's a teenager at this point. In chapter 19, he's going to be called young and tender, which is like the language there is like he's slender and still sort of puny. You know how teenagers are sort of like, they're sort of just, there's teenagers in here, so I gotta, you know, but there's just this like, they're still in good shape. They're still real leaned out, and there's still this like, there's this puppy face. They're still little, you know. They're young, they're innocent, they're inexperienced. It's as though David would grab his son's face, this teenage boy at this time, who he's speaking to and speaking to the nation. And he'll say three things to him here in verse 9. He's going to say, know, serve, and seek. Watch. He says, and you, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. That is a verse that every one of you can go home with tonight and camp out in for the rest of the week. Solid verse. The vision of Wednesday nights is not one verse Bible studies. Otherwise, I'd stay here for the night. This is a solid verse. Let me break it down for you quickly and just sort of whet your appetite for it, and you go and develop it with the Holy Spirit on your own later. He says this, Solomon, the first thing that you got to do, man, he says is this, you got to know God. But listen, it's not just subjective here. It's not just objective here. It's subjectively. It's experientially. It's Solomon, you can't just know about God. You got to know him. It's actually rarely used in the Old Testament because it's such a personal, intimate word. But David employs it here in his really last public words to the nation and his son. And he says, Solomon, the first thing here, the first thing that you got to do as you get ready to take the throne is you got to know God. You got to know God. And I'm going to take this tonight, right, and we're going to observe it. And we're going to interpret it, and now we're going to apply it. And I'm going to say this to you. Do you know God? Can everybody leave here tonight and say, I know God? Granted that we all know him at different levels, of course. Some are just coming to Christ. Some just came, and some have been walking with Christ for eons, and I understand that. And so there's a different maturity in our knowing the Lord, naturally, just like physical life. But I want to ask you tonight, and you don't got to raise your hand or nod your head or stand up or speak out. I just want to ask you tonight to ask yourself this. If you're here, you might as well be here. You might as well just give me your attention because you're here. You've already come. So let me ask you, do you know God? Do you know that you know God? Could I talk you out of that you know God right now? If so, that's a problem because none of you could talk me out of that I know God. Nobody can. There might be things that I don't know about that you might cause me to be confused or concerned of concerning the Lord and just things in and of themselves, but not me actually knowing God. Do you know that you know God and that he knows you? Do you have a real relationship with the living God? That's number one priority for you tonight. If you don't get anything else but that from this Bible study, that will be ample. That'll be enough. You got to know that you know God. your eternal life weighs in the balance. The second thing is this here. He says, you got to serve him. That's an interesting thing to say to a new king. A new king, man, teenage boy, give me the keys, pops. Give me the keys to the kingdom. All right, son, I will. Here's the deal. You got to know God, and you got to be ready to be a slave to God, a servant to God. You got to take a humble seat. You got to take a low seat. You want God to honor you and you want God to bless you, well, then you got to be his servant. You are not his master. He is your master. And he who is not ruled can't rule. How about that? He who is not ruled can't rule. So some of you here tonight, you're not kings, but you're husbands and your fathers. And as a result, you're called to be spiritual leaders in your home, the high priest of your home. And I would say this to you, that you can't rule your house well unless you're being ruled well by Almighty God. He's got to be the master over you. He's got to be the master over me. And even when he is the master over me, I'm still a mess at times. So I can't imagine what life would be like for my wife and my four babies if it weren't for my God's saving grace. But because of his saving grace, one step at a time. You got to know him. You got to serve him. And listen, you got to seek him. The paradox of having found Christ is still pursuing Christ. You guys know Christ? You say, oh yeah, I got that one checked. I know him and I serve him. Just ushered, just greeted, just handed out Bibles, just worked in the cafe. I know Christ. Okay, great. In knowing Christ, do you seek Christ? Shouldn't be a thing with Christ where it's always past tense when you talk about it. Oh, I used to read the Bible every morning, or I used to pray. Man, my prayer life used to be dynamic. Right. If it's all past tense, that's problematic.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.